Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's Friday, a Friday before the bank holiday weekend nonetheless. And you know that means it's time for U105 of the Best, our weekly roundup of the top chat, interviews and quizzing from Northern Ireland's best mix. As the weather took a turn for the better this week, Morris and Denise took the Met Office to task on U105 Breakfast, as talk of going taps off turned to TV spoilers and dirty motors.
Morning, 8 minutes past seven. Morris and Denise here till nine. We hope you're well this Friday morning. Hopefully it'll be a bit warmer than it was yesterday, even though they promised us 20 degrees. It felt like about five.
Yeah.
Wind yesterday, it was shocking.
It was a cold, icy coldness in the wind, wasn't
it? I went out with my shorts on.
Oh
right?
Dear, that was
and it was like, what the heck is going on here?
You were sitting down in the car.
Shorts and t-shirt, ready for the 20 degrees.
Taps out.
Here we go. It's like, what?
Yeah.
It was wild.
It was weird, wasn't
so
it?
So that's what I'm saying. We need to start a campaign against the Met Office to say, Met Office, if you're going to tell us it's 20 degrees, at least if you know it's going to be windy from the north as well, tell us about the wind chill.
Yes.
So say 20 degrees, but it'll feel like two.
Because it's going to be so Baltic in the wind.
It's going to be 20 mile an hour winds from the north. Anyway, elsewhere.
You thought that what you've just said is random. This is something that's gone through my head on the way in. I was behind a very, very, very dirty van on the way in, right?
I hope that when he stopped at the lights, you got out and wrote "wash me" on his back, on the back of the van.
Somebody'd already done that.
All right. Well,
somebody'd already written a bad word on the back of it. But you couldn't see his registration. So I wanted to know, is that illegal to have a car or a van so dirty that you can't see the registration in the car? There must be some law against it. You're meant to be able to see a registration plate in a car, isn't
it? And why did you not get out and remonstrate?
I thought I would come on air and do it instead.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if it's legal.
It's not legal, probably.
Is it not legal?
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, but it was so dirty. It was unbelievable. Like, you'd think at that point when...
What type of van?
A big white... one of those big, like, Mercedes vans.
Do they have a company name on the side?
No, it's completely white. Well, it's great.
You reckon? Completely black?
Yeah.
Coming up this morning...
Have you ever had a television show or a movie spoilt by a colleague or a member of your family?
Many times. Could you be the most beautiful girl in the world?
Hey.
Could you be the most beautiful girl in the world?
I wonder who would actually answer back. I might be.
So you were saying, has a colleague or friend ever ruined a TV series? Spoiler alert.
Yes.
Yes, it happened to me just last week.
Did it happen to you?
Yes, a friend of mine, we managed to watch about 3/4 of Baby Reindeer.
Yeah.
And then a friend of mine told me how it ends.
Oh, no.
They told me the whole thing where he gets out of the shower and it's all just a dream.
Funny, that was used a few years ago.
Was it?
Oh,
is that where I've heard that before?
Patrick Duffy. Oh, I'm really bad. Pardon me, I'm really bad at this. I'm surprised my sister will not be texting you immediately because I have spoiled huge films. Like films with massive twists. I have gone, oh my goodness, can you imagine it was such and such or whatever?
You should ask first.
You really should.
That should be an issue. Have you seen?
Yeah.
No, you haven't. Great. I'm going to tell you the end.
it's not funny, and I don't mean to do it. It just comes out. But apparently,
you've done it before, actually, on here, and people have given off.
I know. I really don't mean to do it, but apparently, there's a term for somebody like me. I'm called a blabber.
Blabbermouth.
I'm a blabber.
Blabbermouth.
And apparently, I can ruin your day, your week, or even your year. Now, that would be really bad.
You'll ruin your year.
Ruin your year. It says in the papers that apparently a blabber can ruin your entire year by spoiling something that's really, really important to you by telling you the end of it. So
what are the twistiest ones without wanting to spoil anything for anybody?
There's a Bruce Willis film.
Okay, everyone's seen that by now.
Yeah, well, everybody would have seen that by now, but I went and I told my sister.
Was that the one, was it? Yeah. And was she planning to see it?
I see dead people.
I see dead people.
Also, I was just going to say, actually, I had Johnny ruin something for me. He did it in such a lovely way. You know Johnny's way. He's like, well, did you see Game of Thrones? You wouldn't expect that to happen to blah, blah, blah at the end of the first series. And I'm like, Johnny, I haven't seen Game of Thrones yet. And his look on his face, he was just like, oh, I'm really sorry, Nisi. Did I spoil that for you? Yes, you did.
Yes, you did, yeah. Blabbermouth, you see. That's what you're saying.
Do you believe in cancel culture? Frank spoke to Fionnuala Meredith about edgy comedians running the risk of being cancelled on the U105 phone-in. Do you think your favourite funny folk are at risk of being censored? Let us know in the comments under the podcast's Facebook post.
Fionnuala Meredith is with us on the radio. Fionnuala, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Comedy, what makes you laugh?
I probably couldn't even tell you. I think my husband tells me that I have the sense of humour of a teenage boy. Very rude and puerile, so I mean, I probably couldn't even mention on the radio the things that make me laugh.
So you would feel that cancel culture has ruined comedy?
Yeah, I don't believe in cancel culture at all. I believe in free speech. You know, if people should be free to make the jokes they want to make, and if other people don't like it, well, they're free to walk out, they're free to leave. You know, and also...
But do you not draw a line anywhere? Do you not draw a line? Like, do you not draw a line making jokes, say, about disabled people or making jokes about women's innards?
Women's innards?
It's the only polite way I could put that.
Right, okay, yeah, no, I'm working that out now. I was thinking, like, we're talking like kidneys or, you know. Anyway, no, there are, for me, yes, there are limits in terms of what I'll... you know, laugh at or what I think is funny. I think back to the instance of Frankie Boyle. I don't even know if he does this anymore, but obviously he's a well-known comedian, and in the past he has made jokes about people with Down syndrome, right? For me, that's going too far. I don't need you to be cancelled. I just don't like it. And actually it was quite satisfying because a woman called him out on it at one of his shows. It turned out she had a child with Down syndrome, and you know, she was really brave, I think, to do that. And so I'm not saying we should just say, oh, anything goes and they can just say whatever they like. I'm saying, you know, yeah, all right, they can do that, but they might get some pushback and they might deserve it. Comedians might deserve to get called out. But this idea of cancelling them, sort of like, it smacks of sort of religious purges, you know, being excommunicated. And I don't like any form of fundamentalism, whether religious or secular, and I will always speak up for free speech. So that's why I think it's wrong.
The reason that we're talking about this, Joe Lycett has been answering some questions via the Lad Bible website, and he said that comedians now, they have to be more thoughtful in the jokes that they write, and he believes that comedy has improved as a result of cancel culture. He says that it's made people more thoughtful about what they write jokes about, and he added, there are jokes I've done in the past I wouldn't do now, and I think that's a good thing. So he obviously regrets some of his past material.
Yeah, well, I think there's an element of self-policing here, which up to a point is okay. I mean, no one wants to go back to the days of racist jokes and vile jokes about, we don't even want to say, you know, we don't want that. But at the same time, I think there's this pernicious culture of saying, you know, well, you know, I have a right not to be offended. And if somebody offends me, then they should go. You know, it's interesting that Joe Lycett has been making these points because a couple of years ago, I think it was 2022, he did a gig in Belfast at the Waterfront Hall and made a joke that one person thought was so offensive. They actually called the police. They called the PSNI and made a complaint. Now, to me, that's just crazy. That's just ridiculous. But Joe Lycett, of all people, should then be realising, oh, hang on, we've got a problem here if people are doing things like that.
Where is the problem? The problem with him for being whatever way offensive he was or not? Or is the problem the audience member who's going to go as far as calling the cops?
Well, I think the problem is with the audience member there. I just think it should have made him more aware that there is an issue, that there's a subset of people who are going to be very angry with all, you know, things that they find offensive that the rest of us may or may not. So there's no law against just a dodgy joke, and neither should there be.
Have you ever presented anything either in your writings or indeed when you'd be giving a talk that you felt was offensive or other people felt was an offensive delivery from you?
Not to my knowledge. I mean, people have thought things and just haven't said or maybe haven't mentioned or haven't raised the issue. I don't go out of my way to be offensive. But at the same time, I like to say what I think, as you know. And I think that's really important that we all feel able to do that. I think most people would agree that there's a sort of atmosphere now that there's some things you can't say. And to be honest, there's some things I'll not talk about because they're just so darn controversial and potentially damaging to me in terms of the work I do. So that's a tremendous pity, I think.
Earlier in the week, I played this clip and I'm going to play it again. And the reason I'm going to play it again is we were using it in context about the image of Ireland abroad and whether or not people had the wrong end of the stick. We had one person who did get in contact to say, how dare we? How dare we? Oh, I was going to get my head ripped off for playing this particular piece of audio. I'm going to play it again because I have to be honest, I think this is very funny. Now, I'll be happy to hear your analysis of it. And I'm a fan of Alan Partridge and Alan, he's probably beyond the pale here. Now, could I play this if he was talking about Pakistan or China? Maybe not. But we'll give it another rip. Have a listen.
Yeah, I think the Irish are going through a major image change. I mean, the old image of leprechauns, shamrock, Guinness, horses running through council estates, toothless simpletons, people with eyebrows on their cheeks, badly tarmacked drives in this country, men in platform shoes being arrested for bombings, lots of rocks, and Beamish. I think people are saying, yes, there's more to Ireland than this. Yeah. A good slogan for the tourist board. There's more to Ireland than this.
Oh, no, I am laughing. I'm cringing. But then sometimes those are the best laughs, aren't they, when you cringe at the same time? I can hardly bear to watch Alan Partridge. I think that show is incredibly funny, especially the early ones, but... Oh, you cringe at the same time.
Yeah, but he is funny, isn't he? You know that's the that paints a picture of how someone would view Ireland if they didn't know how sophisticated we actually are.
Oh, we're terribly sophisticated, aren't we? I know, but the whole point about Alan Partridge is that he himself is a joke. You know, it's all hugely self-mocking and self-deprecating. The comedy of that, that's what it is. He himself is so awful. And I think it's Steve Coogan who plays the character has said at some point something like, you know, we all can identify because within each of us is a kind of Alan Partridge. And I think maybe that's why a lot of us find it so very, very funny. But yeah, that's an example, I suppose, of saying things that are pretty awful and stereotypical and turning it into, though, a kind of parody. A parody of a caricature. It's very clever comedy, actually, I think.
Yeah, it's a clever...
And some people...
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry. Some people what?
Some people will, you know, go mad about it and say how dreadful and, you know, I don't know, maybe report to the police. But that's not the kind of world I want to live in. More speech is always better than less speech. And that includes calling out where we do think something is just going too far.
What about Ricky Gervais? I'll get your opinion on him after we hear what Ricky had to say about about council culture.
That's the thing about offence, isn't it? When people say they're offended, it's that just because you're offended, it doesn't mean you're right. You know, offence is about feelings and feelings are personal. Some people are offended by equality. So what? You know, so you can't second guess people. If you try and please everyone, you'll please no one. Mm. With comedy as well, you've got to deal with taboos and contentious issues. And sometimes you deal in irony and some people don't get that. But, you know, you can't legislate against stupidity. Otherwise, you'll be doing nothing.
He's brutal, however, isn't he? I do find myself laughing when I listen to Ricky Gervais. Sometimes I feel like saying, no, Ricky, unacceptable. I don't think he's as far down the line as what do you call the Scottish guy you mentioned him at the beginning? I even forget his
name. Frankie Boyle.
Yeah, Frankie Boyle. He's not as far down the line as that. But there are times you think, oh, Ricky, you know, how do you get away with it?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what he said just there. I'm not a fan of his because I do feel there's a kind of like a sneering in his comedy sometimes that I find painful rather than funny. But that's me. You know, we all, as he said himself, we all have different perspectives. And the, you know, what offends me or doesn't offend me won't be the same for you or anyone else listening at home. So that's why there can't be some, you know, line in the sand that we all agree on that you must not go beyond. Or I suppose there are some in terms of racist jokes and things like that. But, you know, when we're leaving that aside, I just don't think you can stipulate. You can't legislate for what someone thinks is funny and what someone thinks is offensive. You just can't.
What do you think of Jimmy Carr? You know, like, is the funniest thing about him his face? He's just, like, I don't know what he's done with it. It's like, he's, like, rebuilt it. But he's making a fortune, an absolute fortune. I loved actually a comment he made on television the other night where he does two gigs a night and he said he had a problem with the tax man, which was well documented. And he says he does two gigs a night and the first one's for the tax man. He says, one for him, one for me. So if you're going, would you come to the second show? Because that one's for me. So he loves the idea of making money, but... Like, I've watched clips of him on YouTube. I know it's easy for me just to say disgusting, but some of it is disgusting.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of him either, to be honest. And, you know, I don't know those jokes that you're talking about because I don't think I've seen enough of Jimmy Carr in action to be able to judge. I do think some comedians are very, very angry. They seem like angry people. And that can translate into really, really harsh comedy. Now, I'm not saying it should be cancelled. I just think it's interesting that some of them, it's almost like they're going on stage and venting whatever's inside of them. Maybe, you know, some kind of cathartic effect. I don't know. But some of them, for all the jokes and japes, do seem to be carrying around a heck of a lot of rage, which I think is interesting. So I don't think that takes away from the central fact, which is let them say what they like, you know, for the most part. There's only very, very, very few instances which I think someone should have said, well, no, you can't say that. Mm. You know, and I don't think that cancelling them as in the sense of like preventing them from having work or kicking them off TV or anything like that is the right approach. If you're in a gig and you hear a comedian say something that you don't like, well, you've options. You could leave, you could heckle, but then you're not really going to win that match, I don't think, because comedians are often very good at dealing with hecklers. But the idea of someone like with the Joe Lycett gig in Belfast, that their default thing was call the police, what the heck? To me, that's crazy.
Dave Allen, where are you with Dave Allen?
I don't really know about Dave Allen. Have I somehow missed Dave Allen?
Well, let me give you a little bit of Dave Allen here. Dave Allen is a great guy, of course, talking about the Catholic Church and Old Ireland and all of that. And here he is.
Well, a lot of people think that the Irish come across here because of work, economics, or even religious persecution. It's got nothing to do with that. The reason we come to your country is because over here, you're a permissive society. In Ireland, we're not. Here you have sex before marriage. In Ireland, we do not. We come to get our share. The Irish are very good at populating other countries. In more ways than one. So for all you know, you might be laughing at your brother. You know, two Irish fellas talking about sex before marriage, and one tells the other, he said, what do you think about sex before marriage? He said, I don't think about it. He said, well, I know I never had sex with my wife before we were married. Did you? He said, I've no idea. What's her name?
That is funny. I think I might have to get into Dave Allen.
You'd love him. You'd love him. Like, you talk about Father Ted breaking boundaries. Dave Allen was doing it way before the lads got at it. And he's just, he is funny. And part of it is the way he sits on the high stool and tells the stories with a glass of whiskey or whatever he has in his hand. And he smokes a cigarette. And he's got a half a finger as well. One of his fingers is a little stub finger. There's something amazingly engaging about Dave Allen. It's love hate. I think he is brilliantly, brilliantly funny. He died much, much too young. There's a great documentary about him too, which Tommy Tiernan actually acted in. I think Tommy Tiernan played, I forget this right, but if there's a biopic about Dave Allen, Tommy Tiernan's in it as one of the main characters. He possibly played Dave Allen's son or Dave Allen's father. He played someone in it anyway. But it's well worth a watch. So if you were to go out tomorrow night, finally, Fionnuala, and you were buying tickets for a comedian, who would it be? You know, let me suggest a few here. Would you, like, at a local level, would you be going out to see Tim McGarry? Would you be going out to see Mae McFetridge? Now, come in any time here with your own suggestion. Mm-hmm. Would you be going out to see Shane Todd? Who would you be going out to see?
Yeah, I don't think I've rarely heard going out to hear a local comedian, and maybe I'm missing out, you know, on that. I think my tastes are maybe a bit too weird for them. I don't know, but maybe I remain to be converted.
Yeah, because there apparently, I haven't been out as much as I should have been out recently either, but apparently there is an incredible scene at present. Diona Doherty is another good example of a female comedian who's, putting bums on seats. Dave Elliott is another that you might be thinking about. Mickey Bartlett.
See, I don't know these names. I think I make my own comedy. I mean, I have a whole thing going on at home where I do the voice of the dog and speak to my husband in the dog's voice as the dog.
Oh.
So, you know, I don't think I really need to go out and be amused by other people. I just make my own fun.
Hold on a second, Fionnuala. I've only got a minute.
No, I'm not
no, seriously, I've only got a minute left and I'd love to interview you as a dog. So.
No. Why did I mention this?
Fionnuala, when did you first consider becoming a writer?
No, I'm not doing this as a dog.
Well,
I'd have to work up to that. And I know.
Okay, well, let me ease you. Let me ease you into it. I'll be my dog. Okay.
No, that's not the way.
Fionnuala, when did you first consider being a writer?
No, you've got it wrong, Frank. I am the dog in this instance. I'm not me. I'm not Fionnuala. I'm my dog, Ripley. Ripley's name is my dog. He's looking up now as well.
Yeah, but I just want you to answer me as the dog.
No way am I going to disgrace myself on air by talking as the dog. That's a very private thing. I only share that with my intimates.
Gosh, your husband, this man has a profile. You know, people know him.
Well, he can have a whole conversation with me pretending to be the dog. It's quite incredible. And then after a bit, he goes, Fionnuala, stop it. We can go on quite a long time this way.
I'd love to be in Chez Meredith just to see that happen. There is no question about it. But I'm not going, you know something, if the nation didn't know who your husband is, I would push you further on this. But I'm not going to save his blushes. Thank you, Gerard. Thank you.
As he gets set for the 45th anniversary tour of his replicas and the Pleasure Principle albums, 80s icon Gary Numan spoke to Morris this week about the longevity of his career and what fans can expect at the Telegraph Building on May 27th.
C105 Breakfast. Good morning. That is Gary Newman and Cars. And believe it or not, it's 45 years since that song was released. 45 years, which is hard to believe, as the man himself has hardly aged. And Gary Newman is with us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
You're coming back to Belfast in just over 2 weeks' time, Telegraph Building, Friday the 17th of May, with a very special 45th anniversary show. No pressure, by the way. It's the opening night of the tour, so just...
It is, sure, yeah. You know.
I've seen in interviews over the years that you've said you're not really hugely nostalgic. So so why the sort of revising the pleasure principle and replicas?
Well, I think because it's such a significant anniversary. You know, being 45 years, you know, that's pretty special. That's quite a landmark. And for songs like Cars to still be busy, you know, they're still being used, still being covered all the time. They're still being used in films, movies, and you know, various advertising campaigns. You know, the song is as busy now as it was, in fact, busier now than it was when it came out. So it stood the test of time. Even songs like Films and Metal from that album, they're getting used all the time. You know, and Me, that song Me, was the backbone of Where's Your Head At, Basement Jack's thing. So they're just still very much alive. But you know, you are right. I do, generally speaking, hate nostalgia. And I don't particularly, as a general rule, enjoy going back to the past and revisiting it. And I certainly don't like sort of living on the glorious moments from the past. I'm way more interested about what I'm doing next and where I'm going next. So it's unusual for me to do something like this. But I think every once in a while, it just makes sense. And I don't feel as if I'm living on past glories, this sort of thing. You know, this is the first time I've done Pleasure Principle for years.
Yeah. When you come to do these albums now in 2024, what way do you do it? Approach it sound-wise?
Oh yeah, yeah. I still feel that it's valid to try to just rework them a little bit. But I think there's a very, very careful line that you have to tread. You know, the melodies need to be the same, obviously. You can't start messing around with the tunes. Yeah, the arrangement needs to be pretty much as it was. People want to know what's coming, when the chorus is. You know, they want to know those things, and that's what they've come to listen to. So I'm very aware of that, and very, very sort of careful to make sure that none of that is messed about with. The sounds that are on the original albums, they need to be there. That's the sounds that the people loved when they bought the record. They need to be there, but that still leaves scope for just rebuilding slightly. You know, keep all those things in place, keep the songs the way people remember them. They will sound the way people remember them, and yet they will somehow sound bigger, better, fuller, more powerful than they were before. And that's what I'm doing.
Local activist and writer Caroline Curran joined our Caroline on U105 Lunch to talk about her role in Project Children, a play about Protestant and Catholic kids spending summers in America to escape the Troubles. Catch the final performances of this run of the show at the Lyric Theatre Belfast this weekend.
Now, we've been talking over the last couple of days, and indeed last week we're giving away tickets for Project Children at the Lyric, and kicked off on the 24th there and runs until the 5th of May. And Caroline Curran, and I'll give you a wee bit of background on Caroline here. I've got her wee bio here. She's an actress and writer from Belfast. She hears me saying all this, she thinks that me. She received a BA honours in drama from Queen's University. In 2023, she starred in Burnt Out at the Lyric, and she's written and starred in her own Christmas show, many shows now. But she was at the Mac with Are You Being Served, and well known for her portrayal, of course, of the beloved Maggie Muff, which concluded with Maggie, Your Ma, at the Mac in 2023. There's so much more, but need nearly a whole show to talk about Caroline's achievements. Are you there, Mrs?
It's really weird. Yeah, I am. I'm here. It feels really weird hearing that all being said back to me.
I know. Well, you see, that's the thing, because you've done so much and then you're just too busy doing your work that you're not thinking about what you've achieved. And then somebody says it to you and you're like, is that really me? But there you go. Look, listen, onwards and upwards, you're constantly changing, doing new things. You had a great time at the Mac at Christmas, are you?
I had a wonderful time, and fingers crossed over the next couple of weeks that more announcements are going to be coming in terms of a few things people might know about. So I'm very excited.
How do you manage,
like, soap sometimes?
How do you manage to do all this with your wee Molly to look after as well, your wee girl?
I know, I'm hoping she's listening right now, because I had to get someone to pick her up from school. She's like, listen to Mommy on the radio.
How old is she now, Caroline?
She's coming 7.
Oh, you're
in September.
That's unreal. Unreal. Well, listen, hello, Molly, if you're listening. Your mummy's a star. So tell us about the play then. So tell me all about it.
So Project Children is written by Fionnuala Kennedy, and it's being, you know, put on by Brass Neck Theatre Company. A lot of people have seen all their shows over the years. It's based on interviews with people who went out on Project Children, and there were several other programmes as well, like the Ulster Project, Children of the Crossfire, but this play looks specifically at Project Children.
Right. Now tell me, Project Children, was it, I don't know, I grew up in North Belfast, I can't ever remember a company or an organisation called Project Children, although I did go on a lot of cross-community trips away, so mm-hmm. I get the picture. But was it just for people in West Belfast or South Belfast or where?
It was all throughout Belfast. So I'm from East Belfast, and I went in 1994 mm-hmm. and when I was 10 years old. So I'm coming up to a big birthday this year, so sure, you'll have to send me a birthday card and say happy birthday.
Oh, Caroline, you're not 30 this year. Don't be saying that.
Oh, no. with that, yes. But yes, I went out to Rochester, New York for 4 weeks. When I was
so
10 years
on,
old.
Hold on, hold on. How did you get on the programme in the first place? Was it a youth group or something?
It was through school.
Right, okay.
And there was only kind of 8 in our class, and we all had the opportunity. They asked our parents, do you want to send them on a cross-community trip? They'd see America, all these wonderful things, go on these outings and meet new people. And I think my parents were like, okay. You know, it's something, you know, it's another, the other side of the world, an opportunity may never arise again. So yeah, they packed a suitcase and off I went on this mad adventure.
Incredible. And whenever you got to America, what, because I'm only imagining, because we obviously wouldn't have had a clue what was going on in America, what did it all look like to you, because everything's so grand?
Yes, well, so my story within the play, which was surreal to watch my life being portrayed on stage. It was just, I cried, I laughed. The play is very funny. I have to get that out there, Carolyn. I laughed, really, really laughed. And when I walked out into JFK Airport, it was just vast. It was another world. Because I was used to being in East Belfast, wee small place, and then we're taking on this massive plane with all these different people. And just everything was so much bigger. The food was bigger, you know, clothes were bigger. It was just, it was a wonderful experience I had. And I'm still friendly with my family now.
Do you keep in touch with them? Have you always kept in touch with them?
Or
have you just re-hooked up with them again?
No, they've always kept in touch with me. And obviously with the career I do now, they've sort of watched me from teenage years going through university to where I am now, essentially. And every so often the mum, Mary, would send like me messages and photographs and go on how proud she is of me. And
oh, that's so lovely.
It's so nice.
That is so lovely. Well, what difference did it make to you as a person?
I'd never been away from my family before. Like only overnight. You know, to your cousin's house when you're sent up and you have to stay with your granny. But like when we all got on that bus, none of us knew what was going to happen. We just knew that something exciting, and it was across the world. And we went to theme parks, we went to basketball games, baseball games. You know, we didn't have that here. We had football. And it was it probably changed my life in a way to go, there is another place to aspire to go. That, you know, living here and being from here, which I'm very proud of, you can go and experience something new and not be afraid of it.
Well, did you find it difficult, Caroline, whenever you come back home then? Because you'd seen all this. Like, if I hadn't seen such riches, I could deal with being poor.
I know.
But how did you manage to come back and not want to go back to America?
a Quebec with a mini accent as well. I think we all, like, we're calling wheelie bins trash cans and all of that. Like, we all did that. But it was just because we were able to then tell our friends who didn't go the stories of, like, we were just on this big adventure. And being so, I didn't realise then until I watched the play how a mad time that was in 1984 where we were living in Belfast. To me, it was normal just, you know, going to school up East Belfast and everything every so often. The rats happening to me, that was normal life. Mm-hmm. And then going to another country where people were asking me questions like, what's it like to live in a war zone? I'd like, who's living in a war zone?
Mm-hmm.
Is that me?
Yeah.
Because that was normal life. But I know everyone's asking me now, would I let Molly go at 10 years old for 4 weeks to family, you know? But obviously times are different now. Our society as a whole is trying to change, and we're trying to support each other. And that's a big thing about this play as well. It's trying to, you know, it shows people trying to make that move towards peace, you know, and it's documenting the changes throughout the years. I'm telling you, you will laugh.
I'm really looking forward to seeing it. I mean, even whenever you're talking about that, I was telling the listeners yesterday that I went on a trip. Well, I went on a few, actually, with the youth club. Grew up in the New Lodge, Caroline, and the youth club was sort of a safe haven for kids because the troubles were intense at that stage.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing all my friends on a bus. I've told this story so many times to my family, but I remember seeing all these kids on a bus, all their wee faces squished against the window on the New Lodge Road. Mm-hmm. A massive big bus you wouldn't see. It wasn't a bingo bus, it was a proper big bus. And I'm thinking, where are you all going? I was about 7 or 8. And I said, where are you all going? And they just keep saying, come on, come on. So I ran home and asked my sister, can I go on this trip? And she said, aye, away you go. She didn't care. She said, there's a couple of 5p's there, take them. That 5 5p's that are lifted from under the Spanish lady that were for the gas.
You were rich.
I was rich, and I ran it on the bus. And Caroline, I came back 3 weeks later. My dad didn't know where I was. And I'll tell you, the truth of the matter is, it wasn't until we were halfway down the road and I saw kids opening their sandwiches, and I'm looking, going, oh, I didn't think about that. And then I saw that they had cases with clean knickers and things in them, and I didn't have any of that, but I was I had nothing. But as you say, you wouldn't let your daughter, how old's Molly?
Seven. Coming seven.
Right, there's no way in this world if Molly came into you and said, Mummy, there's a bus in the road, I want to go on that trip, you go away, you go, but nothing. So God love me, and I look back on it and go, what was going on there? But anyway, I was lucky that the family that took me whenever I got down to Limerick, that's where we were going, they were absolutely brilliant. It was an incredible family, full of love, lucky for me, and I was in a safe place with them, so it all worked out all right. But listen, I'm looking at this story that you're telling me. I think it's going to resonate with a lot of people who went on these cross-community trips, regardless of where they went to. Mm-hmm. But to get to hear your story, and how many other people were interviewed?
She interviewed like a lot of people, but I think within the story, I think there's 5 main sort of, you know, stories that they focus on, and they all tell something different.
Mm. So it's going to be good fun. You're going to get a lot of flashbacks on what it was like in Belfast back in the day, and, you know, what people got out of it whenever they went there. If people want to get tickets, how do they do it, Caroline?
So you can go online at thelyrictheatre.co.uk. I think you can just phone the box office. Now, I know this is their last week, and they have double shows kind of at the weekend here, so it is filling up fast. So if I were you and you really want to see this and, like, take a trip down memory lane, please go. I promise you, you will thank yourself.
I'm thinking about Brass Neck Theatre Company, Caroline. They're always doing something different. Where did this idea come from? Did somebody present it to them or what?
Yeah, I think Finn had always wanted to, because her sister went on the Project Children and stuff like that. She was always really interested about interviewing people and hearing people's stories, especially about the volunteers from here who helped, you know, other families and other schools to get the children away, to take them somewhere, to try and let them see another part of the world. And she was just like, I'm really interested. And then I said, oh, I went to check what? You went? I was like, yeah. Mm. And she was just fascinated by everybody's was different.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course.
You know, but she wanted to highlight the fact that, you know,
It was the move, to try and make the move towards peace.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And to show and kids that really there's something. And to show kids that you can live with other people from different backgrounds, yeah. And it's okay. Not everybody has to be the same. You know, I think that's the thing. Like, I mean, because we're all brought up thinking them and us, you know.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's just a silly way to be, you know. Everybody's
we're
an individual,
exactly
as you
the
say.
Same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, listen, it runs until the 5th of May, so not a lot of time left. Lyrictheatre.co.uk. And what about you, Caroline? What have you got in the pipeline?
I know. So over the next couple of weeks, hopefully there'll be a few announcements about what's coming up next for me. So I'm not allowed to tell anybody yet.
All right.
So,
it's a big secret.
I have to come back on and talk about it.
Well, let me know whenever you're ready to talk about it and you can tell us everything. Always lovely to talk to you and have a lovely day. Thanks a million, Caroline.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
No problem, darling. Take care. Bye-bye.
And to finish off this week's U105 of the Best, why not see if you can score better than these two contestants from U105 Drive's Minute to Win It. With Johnny as quizmaster and question setter, it's no mean feat to avoid defeat.
Marvellous. Bon Jovi here on U105 and Living on a Prayer. Okay, on the quiz, kicking us off today. John, how you doing?
Not too bad. Johnny, yourself?
Oh, great, great. Anybody with you?
I've got my wee lad, but he's bigger than me, like.
All right. Yeah, I've experience of that. So, what do you call your big wee lad?
My big wee lad's John too.
He's John as well. Yes. Right. How tall are you, John?
5'4".
Are you 5'4"?
Hi.
John, that's totally no harm to you. And what age is your son? About 8? Then he's taller than you.
No, he's 7.5. Now, what are you joking? He's 18.
He's 18? So, yes. And is he about 6'4" already?
He's not too far off.
They're all that size now. Seriously.
He says he's going to get more rate than me today.
Just for his cheek, we'll see what the crack is. Right, okay. No problem. But teenagers now, do you ever go and watch, like, I've noticed it really, going to watch kids' football, and they're all, I mean, I need a stepladder to, you know, talk to them.
He's going to support the Reds there on Saturday as well.
Oh, here, did he get a ticket?
He did. He got one today.
It's one of those. Everybody's phoning everybody they know to see. Do you know anybody can get me a ticket? Right. Okay. No problem. I got mine, by the way, so I'm all right. I don't care. Anyway, minute on the clock. Blatter through these, the two Johns, and if you're stuck, shout help. We'll give you three choices. All right?
Dead on.
All right. Here we go. All right. I can't even press the right button today. This is one of those days. Right. Here we go. In which sport would you find a bomb, a blitz, and a shotgun?
Help.
Baseball, American football, or cricket?
Cricket.
American football. What instrument does Lisa Simpson play?
Trumpet.
Saxophone.
Egypt. Saxophone.
Whose father was put into a pie by Mr. McGregor?
Don't know.
Andy Pondy, Naughty, or Peter Rabbit?
Peter Rabbit.
Correct. Which football team play their home games at the Etihad Stadium?
Monterrey.
Is correct. Green Goblin and Dr. Octopus are villains in which superhero films?
Batman.
Spider-Man. Which children's animated TV show featured the Soup Dragon?
Scooby-Doo.
Clangers. What's the first event in a triathlon?
Running.
Swimming. What foodstuff was originally called fairy fluff?
Cotton candy.
Yes, candy floss. Yes, well done. Yeah. Big John, you go and... No, I'm talking about... Well, old John, go and show young John a quiz book or something at some stage, you know, when you're sitting with nothing to do today. 2, 4, 5 points, which is desperate, okay? So you can...
A little of an all right meal.
You can both blame each other there, okay? How did he... I mean, he's a young fella. How did he not get the Spider-Man question? They're all into that, you know? Dear me, that's wild. Anyway, thanks very much, boys. You got 5 points. Thank you. Here.
Cheers,
hopefully we're jumping up and down on Saturday, okay?
I'm not being anywhere near.
Right, see you later. Bye-bye. Bye. Have Linfield fans had trouble getting tickets? I mean, and I think the Irish Cup final is sold out. Is it safe to say that? But certainly in the network of people I know, people phoning, Johnny, you must be able to get tickets. I can't. No, I can't get tickets any more than anybody else. Right. So that's what we have. Five for the two Johns. And what we've given you, rain, trap, traffic, net. Rain, trap, traffic, net. They're the answers. What was the question? Get on the text and WhatsApp. 077-66-105-105. You're 5-0 down. I was asking about the Cup Final ticket situation. I know that the Cliftonville end is sold out. And there's all kinds of shenanigans going on trying to secure tickets. DJ the Caretaker says they're a rare thing indeed. He says they're like rocking horses. Oh, right, OK. No tickets left for the Linfield sections. Luckily, I have mine. DJ, I might see you there. Wave across the pitch at you. Now, hold on. We'll grab a caller here. Hold on. Du-du-dun. Who's this?
Eddie,
who's with you?
I'm here with Johnny today, again. Oh,
flying solo, no problem. Minute on the clock, you're 5-0 down. Blatter through these if you're stuck, shout help. You ready?
Will do.
Okay, mate, here we go. What colour are history questions in Trivial Pursuit?
Blue.
Yellow. In what stadium do Arsenal play their home matches?
Emirates.
Correct. In Dad's Army, which character carried the first aid kit?
Help.
Godfrey, Fraser or Pike?
Pike.
Godfrey. If you're in your birthday suit, what are you wearing?
Nothing.
Is correct. According to the AA, what part of a car is the main cause of all call-outs?
Help.
Battery, tyres or windscreen?
Battery.
Is correct. What's the minimum age at which you can legally buy fireworks?
18.
16. On which piece of apparatus would a male gymnast do a crucifix?
The ropes, the strings.
Is it the rings, the parallel bars, or pommel horse?
The rings.
Is correct. DCI Barnaby is the name of the detective played by John Nettles in what TV series?
Help.
Frost, Midsummer Murders, or Taggart?
Midsummer Murders.
Is correct. Whoa! Let me see what you got here, Eddie. They were tricky enough. So John and John had five, and you got 7 points. So you're our winner today. Okay, Eddie, well done. You're getting into the draw on Friday. Thank you very
much. Thanks very much, Donna.
Thanks, Eddie. Okay. Well played. Thank you. There you go. 7-5 today. Were the questions extra hard, were they? Mm-hmm. So, 7 and 5. How did you do yourselves? Be honest now.
Thanks for listening to this week's U105 of the Best. For more of this type of thing every weekday, tune in on FM, DAB, online, on the U105 app, and on your smart speaker. Just ask it to play U105.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.